Recording is on.
Welcome to the CCG Weekly Meeting. It's May 18th, 2021, and today we're going to be talking about linked data signatures. A quick agenda review. First is the IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Ensure you have a W-3 account and that you accept the community contributor license agreement. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the public GitHub. We will use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. Use the IRC or the Jitsi text chat. The Jitsi text chat is linked to the IRC. All attendees should type present plus to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. In IRC, type Q plus to add yourself to the queue with an optional reminder. If you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue. Please be brief so that the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always recue yourself. Note that this meeting is held by voice, not by IRC. Off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record, and we work hard to maintain a single thread of conversation so everyone can participate and be heard. Please respect the group process by joining the queue when you have something to contribute. At this point, we need a scribe. Do we have any volunteers who can scribe? We would love a volunteer to scribe. Welcome to the list. Is Ganesh Anand here? Jonathan Holt. Kelly Cooper. Adrian Gropper. Chris Wazinski. Dave Longley. Marcus Sabadello.
Yeah, I can do it. This is Marcus.
I much appreciate that, Marcus. Thank you for scribing. Moving on to the agenda. We're now doing introductions and reintroductions. Is anyone new to the group? Maybe hasn't come to a CCG for a while and would like to introduce themselves. Please feel free to cue yourself or just speak up. Pierre.
Can you hear me?
That's fine. Welcome.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm Pierre-Antoine Champin. I'm not a regular member of this group. So I thought maybe, I'll introduce myself, although I was here, I don't know, a few weeks ago. I'm currently a W3C fellow. So part of the W3C team. I've been involved in, a lot of semantic web RDF standardization, member of several working groups, the latest one being JSON LD 1.1. And I've been involved in with Ivan Herman in drafting the charter for the linked data signature working group.
Thank you so much for your introduction and welcome. Is there someone else who would like to introduce themselves? Okay, reintroductions. Is there anyone who would like to reintroduce themselves? If you changed jobs, started a new project, have something to share, might be a great time to reintroduce yourself to the group. Feel free to queue or just speak up. Okay, we have a lot to talk about with respect to linked data signatures, so I think we can get to it. So We're now moving on to announcements and reminders. No announcements and reminders so far officially listed. Does anyone have an announcement or reminder they'd like to share with the group? Okay. So moving on to reviewing of the community issues. I believe that there have been no community issues that are blocked and holding up members. But if there are, feel free to please open them. I believe that all the issues that are outstanding were made by the chairs and our main entities for the CCG. So I believe that we can just move on to link data signatures. Great. So now that we're on to that topic, Manu, you've queued yourself to present.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. So I sent a slide deck to the community group here. So here's the email with the slide deck for today. And then more specifically, here's the link. Here's a direct archived link to the slide deck. I will be presenting, but for those that wanted a link, there it is. So let me go ahead and share my screen really quickly. All right. So today we're going to be reviewing what's been happening with the linked data signatures charter. So as many of you may know, we've been working on things like RDF dataset canonicalization, linked data signatures, and linked data proofs for over 8 years plus in this community group and others. This work is kind of a fundamental underpinning of the verifiable credentials, work item and, for some, signatures around, DID documents and things of that nature. We are doing this in reverse order. In an ideal world, this work would have been standardized before verifiable credentials were standardized. But for a variety of political reasons, that didn't happen. But here we are today, and we are very much on a very good glide path to getting this stuff standardized. Today we're going to be reviewing just kind of what where we are, right? So the work's been done for a while. A draft charter was created about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. It went in its first circulation out, just kind of a pre-circulation to just get feedback from all the W3C member companies before it's put forward for an official vote to just make sure that everyone's on the same page with respect to where the charter is. What we're going to be going over today is where we are with the charter, right? So we're very much kind of in the final stages of that that pre-review stage, just to make sure everyone's got input. We have gotten input from a variety of organizations, large and small companies alike. Google has weighed in, not officially yet, but some representatives from there have weighed in. We've had people from this community weigh in, and we're just going to go through that, right? And answer any questions the community group has. Okay, so this is kind of what we're going to cover today. We're going to cover, a roadmap just to, that we had kind of put forward a couple of months ago, and how it applies to the linked data signatures charter. We're going to go over each work item that is now contemplated in the charter. It's changed slightly. So just to make sure everyone's on the same page, we're going to go over the things that the working group is going to do. Or it's proposed that the working group's going to do. And then we're going to go over the things that are out of scope. There are a number of discussions that happened over the past, month and a half that has clearly put things out of scope, that have come up, that would have probably led to, formal objections against the charter. So Yvonne has been, and Pierre Antoine have been hard at work, addressing those, issues. Is there anything else people want to have covered during the call today? Anything else you were wondering about that you'd want to have spoken to? Okay, then I'm going to keep going. We did do a presentation about what linked data signatures, you know, are, you know, how you might use them. We did that a couple of months ago. The appendix in this slide deck has those slides in there. So if you're like, I don't know what these people are talking about, you can go to the appendix and kind of see what, you know, we're talking about. There are examples of what RDF dataset canonicalization are. There are examples of what a linked data proof is, and concrete examples, code that you can look at, explanations that you can read. Okay, so with that said, here we go. here's the roadmap, the general roadmap that we proposed a while ago. There was feedback on it, and we have changed a couple of things, but the fundamental kind of shape of it hasn't really changed all that much. The thing that we're talking about standardizing are these three kind of bars, these three things that are described in the roadmap. So everything else for the working group is out of scope effectively, right? So specific crypto suites, BBS plus signatures, there's some of it, a very small amount of it that's in scope. That is, we need to contemplate these things because we know these things are coming down the pipeline. But for right now, we want a really good focused, strongly focused charter. And for that, we're only going to be contemplating these three things on the CG roadmap. And even these three things, they got split out from three to four things in the charter, and we'll be going through that in a bit. So this line's, you know, pretty accurate. We're actually a little we're like here today. The expectation is that this working group is going to launch in September of this year. So the status now is it's in, you know, we're circulating the charter before it goes to an actual vote. Then we'll get a final review from like the technical architecture group at W3C. They've said they wanted to take a look at it, in other groups within W3C, final sign off. And then it will go to a membership vote. And then we'll see how many companies support it. Typically you look to see, you know, you look at least 20 to 25 to 30 companies ideally supporting a charter to create it. If you don't meet that bar, the working group isn't created. So if we get, you know, 10 companies saying they want it and that's it, then we will not get a working group. So it's very important to signal your support. And then if you're a W3C member company, go and vote for the charter. Don't forget to vote for the charter, because if you forget, you know, there's a chance the working group's not created. Okay, so that's roadmap. Any questions on kind of the roadmap and what part of the roadmap we're talking about? It's these three bars right here that I'm circling. Just for the minutes, that is RDF dataset normalization, canonicalization, linked data signatures, and linked data proofs. That's what I'm circling on the screen. Okay. Next up. So this is, we had a different, slightly different looking stack when we presented this last time based on review from like the semantic web, group and, you know, RDF community, in some large, companies. We've tried to, make it very clear what these work items are. So the work items that the working group's going to work on are in green. And the stuff in gray is, almost completely out of scope. But the charter is such that we have to understand that this work could be coming down the pipeline and we have to prepare for it. So that will prevent the group that means that the group won't accidentally do something to prevent these items from happening in the future. They have to know that, you know, this is happening in a larger ecosystem. And once we get the foundation, down there and solid, these work items are going to happen, you know, next, or there's a possibility of these work items happening next. So the work items specifically, the deliverables for the linked data signature working group is the RDF dataset canonicalization technical report, the RDF dataset hash technical report, and the linked data integrity and linked data security vocabulary as technical reports. Okay, so that's it's these things in green. Everything else is more or less out of scope. We'll get to the specific out of scope statements, but that is, you know, what folks felt was a good, you know, focused charter. We do have use cases and requirements documented now, just high level ones, not nearly detailed. If you click on this image and go through, you can see you know, the use case, just a handful of them, that came up during the review and folks wanted us to document it. So there are things like we want to be able to detect changes in an RDF data set. So when information changes, we want to be able to detect it. We want to be able to verify that, the contents of a data set, in a space efficient way. So this is fundamentally taking a data set and cryptographically hashing it and knowing, you know, if you do that on a different data set and you get the same hash, then more than likely you're dealing, almost certainly you're dealing with the same data set. Secret confirmation of data sets. So this means that if I generate a hash and I ask you to generate a hash and we get the same hash, then we know that, with an incredibly high degree of certainty that we're working with the same data set. Annotating data sets with digital signatures and digital proofs. So that basically means digitally signing information, around a data set. Anchoring data sets to a distributed ledger. So this is just blockchain anchoring, basically. There are use cases there that were important to people. So you wanted to be able to hash a data set and then take that hash and anchor it on a public ledger. And that would give you, you know, a strong signal that that information existed at that point in time. I'm going to skip over this use case. It takes a bit of time to explain it, but it's basically a way to name blank nodes in an RDF data set. We needed a way to do that. We wanted to be able to express these proofs in something like a QR code or a data matrix. So we wanted to be able to take an RDF data set, convert it to something like CBOR LD, and then express it in a space efficient way, like in a digitally signed QR code or data matrix of some kind, or, you know, transmit it over NFC. You know, a couple of hundred bytes gives you effectively a verifiable credential, you know, encoded in CBOR LD that's digitally signed. We wanted that was a use case that people were interested in. And then, you know, making sure that we could sign subsets of data sets and subsets of graphs and also digitally sign things like ontologies, right? So those are the use cases that made it in. People seem to be fairly happy with those. Every other use case that you can think of is usually a variation on these basic use cases. So let me stop there to see if there are any questions.
Hey, Manu, I've queued myself.
Please.
So I was wondering if the following was in scope. Explainability of the signing requests. We are working with, non-standardized linked data signatures. And oftentimes we want someone to sign something with their key. And there's not really a canonical way to explain to them what they're signing. So we either have to invent a way. Have you thought about this and its relationship with the working group and, you know, where that would fit in? And Pierre is free to answer too.
Pierre Antoine, did you want to take a shot at that?
Yeah, I can try. There was actually a lot of questions on the Symantec web mailing list about similar issues, and I hope Manu will agree with me on that. But I think we agreed that this would be considered out of scope, although obviously those issues need to be addressed. But But the work of the working group is merely to provide building blocks for providing that kind of thing, and that the linked data integrity framework and vocabulary would be extensible to provide to express that kind of additional information about, let's say, the social meaning and the commitments attached to this or that kind of signature.
Great. Thank you, Pierre-Antoine. Wayne, did that answer your question? I do have a follow-up for you. Could you explain like a specific use case that that kind of elaborates on the question you asked?
Yeah, sure. So, one example is that there are a lot of users out there that have browser extensions that can wield private keys, cryptocurrency users, even 1Password, I think has some, functionality with, keys. And, thinking about how to get someone to sign something with those keys, we can define a linked data signature suite perhaps. But in order to sign it, they might be facing a wall of canonicalized RDF, which is not very human friendly to understand what it is exactly that you're signing. In these situations where you don't have a lot of control over the wallet, but you still want to provide the user some sense of what they're signing, you know, we were trying to look for a standard way to do that. So, there's no tricks up our sleeves and we're not misleading the user, but we couldn't really find them. So all we can do right now is try to come up with an open source solution that is as pragmatic as possible.
Right. So effectively what Pierre-Antoine said, that's out of scope. It's kind of at the application layer, right? So you are kind of at the layer where you're dealing with, a customer or a user of some kind. The working group is down in the plumbing, right? So the working group is just trying to get the basics that are necessary to standardize, to do a digital signature in this way. And you're talking about kind of a semantics question that would go on top of all of the work that the working group's doing. So this is where a number of companies kind of jumped in and said, whoa, like that could be a very big discussion and you don't want the working group to start off at that discussion. You need to set the right foundation. And once we have the foundation in place, then somebody can do that work, right? I think that the biggest challenge with that, Wayne, right now is that there's no proposal on how to do that. That's been a kind of an open question in computer science in general since, the mid 90s. How does a individual know what they're signing when they go to sign it? And there's quite a number of like UX, concerns and issues with that. So the best thing to do in that case is to, work on an open source library and a spec and, propose something. And then that could be taken up as a rechartered item for the working group. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thanks.
Okay. But that's a great example of the type of conversations that have been happening over the past month and a half and the concerns that companies have had about the scope of the group. They wanted to keep the group very tightly scoped. And so if it looks like we're not doing enough, that's kind of a good thing. Because when you start taking in like the semantics of what people are signing or the semantics of the vocabularies and the meaning of what's being signed, it gets very complex very, very quickly. Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah, thanks, Manu. I mean, obviously this is dealing specifically with signing of RDF data and et cetera, but a question about scope is a common thing that we often deal with on the machine learning side is representing properties and metadata of non-linked data in some kind of a linked data format in order to sign it and get some of the benefits that, we're looking at here as kind of the standard use cases, which is why we like this, right? As far as either change detection or, tamper resistance, et cetera. is the working group going to touch at all in terms of best practices for conversion of more like the tabular data or data frame type stuff that we deal with commonly in that space? And how do we properly represent, metadata around those data sets as linked data? Or is it specifically going to be just like, nope, this is linked data sets only?
That's an excellent question. And that is another thing that we struggled with. So a lot of the discussion and a lot of the engagement came from the semantic web community. It didn't come from the credential CG. For whatever reason, you know, the CCG didn't really, engage that much. It might have been because, you know, CCG has been involved in this for a long time and everything that they wanted to address was in there. But there are a number of us that fought very hard to make sure that those things weren't put so far out of scope that they weren't considered at all, and then we would be cut off for the rest of time from being able to address those use cases. So as Ori mentioned in the chat channel, what you're talking about is embedding some of those data formats in linked data. So you can express something as @JSON in JSON-LD and do a signature over the JSON content. It will use JSON canonicalization, JCS, to canonicalize it, and it'll put it in a linked data payload, and you can get a good, valid signature over that data. If you have CSV or tabular data of that kind, you're going to have to figure out a way of expressing it in the linked data, and it's just going to be a text string blob, right? So it's not, there's no canonicalization mechanism for CSV, for example. And so the idea is you're just going to shove it into the linked data as a blob, which is okay. It's not ideal. But just to be clear, that kind of stuff is out of scope. So we said, hey, you know what? There are a number of people in the community that are doing JCS. We should seriously consider that. And a lot of the pushback from kind of this, the semantic web community was like, no, like this is already, like let's stay focused. The real thing that needs to be standardized here is RDF dataset canonicalization. Let's focus on that. Let's not open up the aperture to, you know, canonicalizing every possible data format, you know, out there. And so what we did was we tried to strike a balance in the charter where, we are focusing on RDF dataset canonicalization. That is, you know, job number one is get that done. It's needed to be done for like 20 years, right? So get that done. But also consider that there may be other canonicalization mechanisms out there, and the group needs to be aware of it, and they don't, and they definitely shouldn't do something that kneecaps or hobbles those other initiatives. I don't know if that answered your question.
That does. That helps quite a bit because, I mean, obviously these are discussions we get into on the machine learning, you know, side of things with, you know, the working group over there and, you know, other parties involved in that. So it's just I think if we can get this stuff, you know, the RDF can, you know, canonicalization stuff standardized, that gives us a means to then go build off of for other methods to bring things over. So I agree with the approach and it just wanted some clarity on that.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, that's what these charters, you know, trying to get these charters right is about. It's about finding the right balance, not overwhelming the working group, but not cutting off paths we know we want to go down later. Okay. So, that's use cases requirements. If you click on this in the slide deck, it'll take you to the explainer. So there's the other thing to keep in mind here is that there's an explainer that goes along with the charter that talks about, you know, the general problem that we're trying to address. It defines kind of in a mathematical, sense, exactly what, you know, canonicalization is and what we're trying to do. Talks about, why we, split out hashing from, you know, signing, talks a bit about, you know, out of scope issues, talks about, you know, separation of concerns and the deliverables and then use cases. So the explainer is meant to go along with the charter. You're supposed to read the explainer, when you read the charter. Okay, so that's linked off of use cases and requirements. Okay, so let's talk about the actual deliverables. These are the things that people are that there seems to be agreement over. But before I go there, let me make sure that why didn't I do this? I didn't actually link to the charter itself, so let me try and find the charter.
You have it at the top of the explainer, I think. Well, yeah, there
okay,
you go.
There we go. Thank you, Pierre Antoine. So the really great news here is we have two co-chairs for the group. Phil Archer from GS1 and our very own Marcus Sabadello, right? So they're going to be co-chairing the work. I'm personally thrilled by those choices, that W3C, has made. So this is, they've both accepted, right? Both Phil and Marcus have accepted. Co-chairing Yvonne is going to be, the team contact, along with, Pierre Antoine. I think you're going to be, in the group as well. Maybe I should stop for half a second and ask Marcus if he wanted to say any words about, the chairing or anything about what I said. Well, Marcus, I can, scribe for you.
Thanks. Yes, I'm equally excited. It was relatively recent that I was asked to join this, so I'm probably not as deep into the subject as I will be soon. But I want to add maybe to all the things that Manu said. I could add that this is really important work, right? It was interesting how Manu mentioned that we did it in the wrong order, right? We've been taking this for granted for a really long time. We've been using this in verifiable credentials and in other places. The reason why this is important is because it's not just for verifiable credentials, right? It's for any kind of linked data, any kind of RDF data sets. And we are also already seeing some examples in the community where linked data proofs are being used on things that are not verifiable credentials in the traditional sense. So this is really broader. It's really about creating a new trust and security layer for the web itself, right? For the semantic web. Very much looking forward to this, and hope to see a lot of participation also from this group.
Thanks, Marcus. I'm just finishing up scribing. Hopefully everyone's as thrilled as I am about Marcus co-chairing and leading, and Phil as well. Phil is also ex-W3C. Phil used to be the lead for kind of the data work at W3C for a while, and now he's at GS1 kind of pushing that agenda forward at GS1. So we've got a lot of experience that's coming into the group, which is great. That's exactly what you want to see. Okay, so real quick, what are the deliverables? The first one is a technical report on RDF dataset canonicalization. So this is about how you canonicalize an RDF dataset. An RDF dataset is an abstract data structure, and there's a canonicalization mechanism. There are two inputs into this work. One of them is a mathematical proof that Dave Longley and Rachel Arnold have been working on, since like 2012, 2011, probably earlier than that. And then the other one is a mathematical proof by Aidan Hogan. So these are two different approaches to solving the problem. The most important thing to understand here is that we've got two independent proofs that, this is a solvable problem in a generalized way, using two different ways of doing the proof. So it's a good signal to the group that, this is it's a solvable problem. And that there are, algorithms, that demonstrate it's a solvable thing. Okay. So that's the first deliverable. That's priority number one. Get that done. This is the thing that has needed to be done for, 20 plus years, at this point, probably longer. Okay. So that's the first deliverable. Second deliverable. This one's a bit weird, right? So RDF dataset hash. RDF dataset hash is about, once you have this canonical form, how do you hash it? how do you generate a hash once you have the, you know, the abstract canonical form? And that's what this specification, you know, could be about. Right now, this algorithm is in the linked data proof specification. But we may, people wanted us to kind of separate, this work from, the linked data proofs thing. They wanted something independent, from the linked data proofs, linked data integrity spec. It may be that this thing ends up getting subsumed back into, the linked data integrity specification. But for now, we're trying to be very clear in the charter. We intend to generate this as a work item. It might only be like a 4-paragraph work item, but that's one of the deliverables. That's priority number two. That's the second thing that the group should achieve. And then, the last two kind of go together. There's linked data integrity and the linked data security vocabulary. So linked data integrity is what we call linked data proofs and linked data signatures today. I really like the new name. I think it does a very good job of expressing what we're trying to do here. We're trying to express data sets, and say that, you know, this is the integrity of this data set has not been, harmed. It hasn't been violated. You can trust, you know, this data if you trust the proof around it. So linked data integrity covers anything from, you know, like, blockchain anchoring to a digital signature to potentially a proof of work. These are the general algorithms of how you generate a proof and you attach it to a data set. And the how you attach it to a data set is what the vocabulary is about. When you generate a proof, you need a vocabulary. And when I say vocabulary here, I don't mean an English vocabulary. I mean an RDF vocabulary, a semantically precise, mathematically testable vocabulary that you can use to express the types of proofs that you're creating. So linked data integrity is the third thing. It's the third layer that we're layering on top of the other two layers below it. And again, it's about, you know, how do we express, signatures and proofs and things of that nature. One really interesting thing that came up is there was a lot of controversy around proof of work. So the feedback from some of the larger companies were, we don't think the working group should work on things that melt the planet. W3C now has a position that, the web should be sustainable. We shouldn't do things that, contribute to, social destruction or environmental destruction. No matter where you're on, you know, on the different people think different things about this, but, you know, there is great concern around things like proof of work. If they continue at the pace that they are and, proof of work ends up becoming the mechanism that's used to protect some of these things, there is concern that, W3C may be doing active damage, to the world. So, Ryan, I see that you're on the queue to defend proof of work. Just before you say that, this is part of a larger conversation. But it was interesting to see that this is that thing, that statement is already being applied to charters. And this is one of the first charters where, environmental concerns were raised in a chartering. Go ahead, Ryan, you're on the queue.
The whole melt the planet thing, I mean, it's a ridiculous urban legend. The value here is really huge, and I'm shocked that this is actually being considered by people who are trying to do technical things well. I'm completely blown away. There's a recent report I'll post it in the chat that the the functionality that's being delivered is being delivered for half the cost of mining gold and the banking system. I mean, this is efficiency. This is much better. Okay, I'll just stop there and send some links.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. And it is a, you know, it's an active debate. You know, this is I'm pointing this out because it was interesting. I've never had a charter that triggered that part of the W3C, you know, guidance for working groups. Yes, Ori, maybe you should, why don't you say that out loud, Ori? I think that's a good point.
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't have the context for whatever you're alluding to. And generally, I get very concerned whenever someone alludes to big companies or undefined nebulous authority figures are making a statement. So I agree with Ryan. You know, I'm concerned about the way you phrased it, but I would be surprised if folks at large companies are interested in signaling through their chartered work in standards organizations their support for diversity, inclusion, and environmental considerations. And certainly there is an opportunity to impact both of those in any work item, right? And so I'm reading kind of between the lines in what you're saying, Manu, that this is a thing where big companies care about the environment and are finding a way to inject that into the work item here. And not necessarily that big companies like Microsoft, you know, for example, are somehow against proof of work, even though their major decentralized identifier method is built on top of Bitcoin. Thanks.
Yes, that's an excellent point, Ori. And yes, so I mean, it's no secret. It was, you know, Dan Brickley from Google mentioned this and, you know, felt that it was important enough that they should bring it up with the technical architecture group at W3C. Now, this isn't going to result in, I mean, you know, anything of significance happening in the charter. But if there was an item chartered that said that, you know, the working group would be standardizing a proof of work, you know, mechanism, there would be some sort of debate over that, right? Now, the way that this work is structured is that the debates are entirely avoidable by people just going off and building off of linked data signatures to do a proof of work mechanism. Nobody's stopping anyone from doing that. The question is, you know, one around, you know, sustainability. Anyway, it's not the last we're going to hear of that. It's going to keep coming up again and again over the next couple of years. Okay, so I meant that as an aside, not necessarily as a debate. Okay, other deliverables that are important to cover here. We have a registry, linked data CryptoSuite registry. The group said that, you know, if there's a registry mechanism, they're gonna try and do the right thing. So there may be a registry track that W3C defines formally in the next year. And if they do, we'll follow that. Otherwise, we'll just do what the DID working group did when they created the DID specifications registry and operate it like that. So we'll create a registry of some kind. This item is important. This note on additional linked data integrity techniques, this is the thing that covered what you're concerned about, Mike, and the one that you may be concerned about, Ryan. This is the thing that keeps the door open for like JCS or CSV normalization mechanisms or proof of work or proof of stake or, you know, things of that nature. So what we're saying here is like there are other things, other ways of canonicalizing and other ways of proving that the group should be very aware of and not prevent from happening, right? That's what this bullet item is for. And then of course the other deliverables, standard test suite, implementation report, primer on best practices, implementation guide, that sort of thing. And then finally, what's out of scope? So out of scope is we're not going to define new cryptographic signature and encryption algorithms. So things like RSA, ECDSA, EDDSA, AES, that is the purview of the IETF, CryptoForum Research Group or, NIST or, you know, those folks. It's to cryptography focused organizations that do cryptography, you know, algorithms, and primitives. They will continue to do that. We'll just reuse, that work. We will only define the usage of that work. So how to use RSA to do something, how to use ECDSA to do something. So we can do that. And this is this, and we would end up doing that in something like the registry, or the linked data security vocabulary, for example. This last one was the really scary scope thing that was scaring everyone. There was a question on like, okay, well, you've just done a digital signature. Did you do a digital signature over the vocabulary itself? Is that included in the digital signature? Like, what happens if somebody changes the vocabulary, where, you know, a banana means apple now and an apple means orange, right? What happens when you do that? So we very quickly stop that, from happening by putting it out of scope. So it is an important question. It is something that we should consider. But it is something that, you know, companies in the space are already addressing by just using known context to sign things. So this is the, you know, example, an example of this is like you always cache the verifiable credentials context. You never load it from the network. You always work with a copy that you know is valid and is what the spec, defined. And if you do that, then you don't have to worry about the semantics changing out from under you. And if you don't do that, then all bets are off, right? So that we wanted to stay away from that because there are, you know, a non-trivial contingent of people that wanted to go down that path and define exactly how you would sign, you know, the full semantics. So anyway, that was something that was put out of scope and everyone sighed a breath of relief, when that was done. Okay, that's it. That's where we are today. If there's no more feedback, you know, a big feedback from the community, that is where we're going to end up. That is the charter that's going to go to W3C for final approval and the tag for final approval and then be voted on. So let me stop there and ask if there are any concerns that this community has around anything that you saw today in this presentation. Or maybe better yet, is there anything that folks saw today that they would object to? That they're just like, no, that is totally not what I thought we were doing, and I think that would be dangerous to do that work at W3C in a working group. Okay, well, I that's good news. We haven't, you know, we have a good chunk of people on the call today. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, this is an objection. I just wanted to get some further clarification around the relationship between the work in the LDS working group and various specs that have been formed at IETF in particular, especially JSON canonicalization, especially the Jose suite of things. Can you just talk for the record about how we plan to engage or not with the IETF specs that may be relevant to this?
Sure. I mean, the IETF specs are meant to be referenced directly, and we just use them, right? So that has to do with this, let me find the out-of-scope thing, right? So anything that IETF has already defined, we're just going to pick up and use, right? And we may come up with new vocabulary terms to point to those specifications, but we're certainly not going to try and modify those specifications or update them or anything like that. They exist, and we're just going to use them as is. And because they are, you know, because they're effectively, they're done, right? The technology's done. The Jose stack's done. The, you know, the JCS stuff is done. It's published out there. We can just, you know, the group, the W3C group will just link to the work and point to it. Now, to be clear, we're not working on any crypto suites, any specific crypto suites in the first version here. See how all this stuff is grayed out here? We're not working on any of that stuff. The working group will know that it exists, right? And they will be aware of it. And what they're going to try and do is make sure that this foundational stuff, make sure that these things in gray, you know, happen. And by the way, I mean, like we already have all this stuff defined to some degree in the CCG already. So it's not like nobody knows what's going to happen. We are just going to, you know, it's the group has been created to work on these items, not anything else. And so if we need to use anything else, we're going to refer to them. And specifically with things like Jose or proof of work or anything like that, there's no expectation that the working group is going to put serious effort into that in the first chartering of this group. That's going to come in a second chartering or a third chartering. Did that make sense, Wayne?
Yeah, that was very comprehensive. Thanks.
Any other questions or concerns with the charter?
Just an FYI, you're not sharing your screen.
Oh, thank you. My bad. Stopped doing that a second ago. Yep. So sorry. The thing I was pointing to was this thing right here, this bullet item, that we are not going to invent new crypto or encryption schemes. That is the job of, you know, ITF. We will refer to them. And then the work that we're chartered to work on is this stuff here, the green at the bottom, dataset canonicalization, dataset hash, linked data integrity and security vocabulary. We're not working on the gray boxes, BBS plus, Jose, ED25519, Equihash, those sorts of things.
Because we have such an empty queue and so many qualified people in this room, I'll queue myself again to ask some more questions, if that's okay, Manu.
Please.
Yeah, so I think one of the very frequent responses that we'll get, especially from communities not familiar with the RDF ecosystem, is, hey, I want to canonicalize JSON, let's say, by ordering the fields so we get a consistent representation every time. And then I will have assigning via JWT. And then that will allow any verifier to see that I've signed it. And that'll work for my use cases. How would you respond to that? In that, what does LDS let you do that what I just described might have some shortcomings with?
Well, the first thing is let me make sure I'm going to repeat the question back to you to make sure I understood it, because I thought you were going somewhere else. The question is, if I just use RDF dataset canonicalization and then use a Jot to sign it, what's the downside in doing that?
Or without even using RDF canonicalization, just JSON without, you know, semantic web at all.
Sure. So let's just say you're going to use you don't use any canonicalization at all in sign.
Let's allow for a strict ordering, maybe alphabetical, right? Using JCS, let's say.
Okay. So you're going to canonicalize with JCS and then sign with a Jot. Right. At that point, you're completely outside of, you know, what these specs ask you to do. You're kind of doing, you know, you're doing something else. It is possible to create a linked data suite, and people have done that canonicalize in JCS, and then use JWS to do the signature, but express it as a linked data signature. The biggest concern with those types of approaches is that you are locked into JSON at that point. Like you have to transmit that JSON as is when you do that. And that works for a set of use cases. But it completely does not work if you are trying to do something like, you know, CBOR LD compression, so that you can express a verifiable credential, in a QR code or in a small data payload. You know, over NFC, over Bluetooth, a signed QR code. The benefit that the linked data signature stuff gives you is it allows you to translate into other more efficient data formats, or just other data formats without you having to, preserve the initial contents that you signed over, right? So the problem with, the Jose, JCS, JWT approach is that it just presumes that everybody's using JSON when that's not quite true for some of these future use cases. So that's the big thing, is that you don't have to store the initial message in your database, with the signature. you can convert to a different format that, you know, can go to, RDF dataset and back. And that's not a, you know, that is not a, that's not a theoretical, would be nice to have. That we, there are real use cases today where we're talking about expressing verifiable credentials in CBOR, and we need to be able to translate from the JSON, you know, JSON LD version of them to the CBOR version and back. Without storing the payload, because if you store the payload, all of a sudden you've got another, you know, 1200 bytes on top that doesn't work. So while it sounds esoteric, it's a real world use case where there's some pretty big, you know, use cases in supply chain, and digital identity that are important there. Did that help, Wayne?
Yeah, that was a very excellent explanation. You were saying that, you're not stuck in this reality of JSON per se. You know, you might be able to evolve into a higher dimensional being like Cthulhu and go to the CBOR reality as well. And that is very useful because you're able to capture the semantics of the data. So thanks for that.
Yes.
All right. So we are at the top of the hour. Thanks everyone for attending and all the excellent discussion here. We're really grateful for the excellent scribing by the new chair of the group, Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. And to be joined by such wonderful experts working on linked data signatures. Thanks again and see you next week.